Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Words which capture the intense and severe mercy of Christ, who forgives even those who would selfishly crucify him. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Words which fill a criminal's ears with an eternal promise and his repentant heart with an abiding hope, even in the face of a death that he rightly deserved. Woman, behold your son. Words which show the outward love of Jesus for his mother. When all eyes were focused on him, he was focused on her. My God, why have you forsaken me? Words which give voice to our own questions of why, unanswered as they are. And yet, while these words do not answer our questions, Jesus speaks them so that we will never have to. All throughout our midweek services, we've been meditating on some very profound words from Christ. Words that are pregnant with meaning. Words which can be studied from all kinds of different angles, which actually has been done throughout the history of the church. And it's no wonder, no wonder that the last words of Jesus have captivated believers for two millennia. After all, in the moments leading up to death, one chooses one's words carefully and intentionally. And this is what we see from Christ. His last words from the cross are so pithy and profound, it's almost as if he had practiced them beforehand, deliberately weighing their meaning against the breath and energy it would take to speak them. But then we come to tonight's words, a single word in the Greek, and in the Greek it's not even that much of an impressive word, a present active indicative first person singular. Sounds kind of complicated, but it's as humdrum as they come. Dipso, I thirst. What are we to say about such a simple point of human experience? I mean, doesn't everybody thirst? Isn't our need for water as the most basic element is essential to our survival? Isn't that a universally known fact among anybody who would call themselves human? Here we are faced with the death of the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. God himself hangs out to die for the sin of the world. This is the most unique and profound event in the history of humanity. So why, out of all the suffering on the cross, is simple thirst singled out? Certainly anyone familiar with the methods of crucifixion knew that dehydration and a parched tongue were rather par for course. Compared to all the other words spoken by Christ from the cross, this simple utterance seems awkwardly out of place, especially when you consider that it's carried upon the breath that brought water into existence in the first place. I thirst. It seems unworthy to be spoken by the divine at such a pivotal moment. It lacks profundity. It seems a waste of breath, which is a rare commodity on the cross. It is common. It's so human. Of course, much has been made of this little word on exactly that point. It shows us Christ's utter humanity. And to be sure, this is no small thing. Because if the Jesus who died on a cross 2,000 years ago is not fully human, well, then we are still in our sin. And that certainly is not a point to overlook. The fact that Jesus, who is true God, experiences something so universally human is part of what makes this little word spoken in a huge moment, so powerful. But I would like to look at it another way. Rather than focusing simply on the fact that Jesus thirsts like any other human, consider what he receives after speaking this simple word. You know what it's like to be parched, I'm sure. And if you know what it's like to be parched, then you know how sweet a glass of water can be, right? How it cools an arid mouth, how it coats a dry throat with quenching moisture. But imagine not receiving that cup of cool water when you most desperately want it and need it. Imagine a 12-hour day of intense manual labor in stale 90-degree weather, the sun relentlessly sapping you of all hydration while you're a seminary student in St. Louis, Missouri. Longing for just a drop of relief, but never getting one. That's not something we usually think about. We who can just flip on a water faucet, we're even given the luxury of options when it comes to our water, right? Hot, cold, somewhere in between, mineral, bottled, distilled. And yet on the cross, Jesus longs for that which he created, the one who is himself the living water, the one who grants springs of water welling up to eternal life, is denied a simple swallow of the helpful liquid. No, what he receives instead, far from quenching his thirst, well, it's liable to make him sick. Sour wine. And that delivered on a less than sanitary sponge. Jesus thirsts like us, but unlike us, he receives no relief. It's a rather incredible image to illustrate the transaction that happens on the cross. You and I, after all, are in need of quenching. We are born in trespasses and sin which rages within us like an all-consuming fire and saps us of any hope of eternal life. Left to ourselves, we are spiritually parched and arid in our sin. And when faced with the withering terror of our wicked hearts, we thirst. We long for something to quench the fire, something to relieve the guilt, something to calm our burdened conscience. And God could rightly see you burning in your sin and just leave you there. He doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't need anything from you. You certainly aren't worthy to deserve anything from him. He could justly see your sin and dole out his wrath and be done with you. But he doesn't. No, instead, Jesus says, I thirst. Christ drinks to the bottom the wrath of the cup of wrath that the Father gives to him. And it leaves him parched. It leaves him forsaken. It leaves him dead. And as a result, you and I are doused with the very thing that Christ was denied on the cross, the loving, refreshing, soothing forgiveness of God. And what's more, God delivers this gift in the life-giving waters of your baptism, where he drowns the sinner to death, putting out the flames of terror of your sin, and he raises a new creation to life. Like a thirsty little seed placed in dry dirt, which grows only because it has been flooded with water. So it may be the shortest, most simple word that Jesus speaks on the cross. But once again, just like every other word and every other deed that Jesus speaks and does on the cross, you see that he even thirsts for you. On your behalf, he thirsts and is left wanting so that you who are dry and parched by your sin are quenched with his love and his forgiveness, and you are thus given salvation and life eternal. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.